The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Back here with another Arrowhead Pride interview series. Pete Sweeney, the editor-in-chief of arrowheadpride.com, joined by the Bolts from the Blue lead editor, Michael Peterson. Michael, you covered the Chargers. Thank you for joining us here on the Arrowhead Pride Network.
Yeah, man. Happy to be here.
Yeah, we've been going through the last few weeks, the AFC West. We did the Broncos. We did the Raiders. And I'm happy that we saved you for last. Don't tell the Broncos and Raiders this, but I think the Chargers have the best opportunity to maybe knock off the Chiefs in the AFC West. And to me, it starts with Justin Herbert. And I think that's where the perfect place is for us to start. Do you truly believe in watching him now that he is a top 10 quarterback in the NFL? Why or why not?
Yeah, so I definitely think he is one of the top QBs in the NFL. I think there's a case to be made for, you know, 10 guys ahead of him who have been here longer, have been in the league longer, have had more success. But you can't knock off what he was able to do as rookie. It wasn't just a good season for a rookie quarterback. It was just a solid all around a year for any quarterback. And it just so happened that he set all kinds of records, right? And he didn't just set them, you know, the way Baker Mayfield broke Peyton Manning's, where it was like 27 touchdowns to his 26. This was 31 passing touchdowns. So breaking the record by four. They broke Cam Newton's total touchdown record for a rookie QB with 36. I mean, the guy did it all, and he only did it in 15 games. So, you know, if he had that 16th game, you know, maybe he would have broken Andrew Luck's rookie passing yards record as well. So the guy did so much with, you know, a little bit of a handicap, obviously only playing 15 games. And if you put on the film, let's forget the stats for a second. You put on the film, you see a guy who didn't ever look like a rookie. Maybe once or twice when he threw, you know, a pick to end the game at Tampa Bay or something like that. I mean, these are big time moments and stuff like that happens. But this guy made plays outside the pocket, out of scheme. He just never seemed to be rattled. And when he did have a play, like he threw an early interception, I think one against the Panthers, or he fumbled the ball on that one, he bounced back extremely well. And so things like this to me are not a rookie characteristic, right? Like this is something you see from professional quarterbacks who have been in the league for years. And everything else he does, the way he handles himself, just look like a guy who has been there. And I think that's one of the biggest things of why I am a believer in Justin Herbert coming into this season.
Yeah, year two is going to be big. I mean, it always is for quarterbacks. It always is for really anybody in the NFL. We'll see how he handles that adversity. And he's in the division, obviously, with one of the better quarterbacks, if not the best quarterback in the league, in Patrick Mahomes. So he's going to get two shots at him. I tend to think the week three matchup is an early game of the year candidate that I think the primetime really missed, because it's at noon and you have two of the best young quarterbacks in the league going head to head in a division game. I want to get to my next question. Brandon Kiley, one of our hosts on the Arrowhead Pride podcast network, he called the Chargers potentially last year's Browns, meaning within 2 years, they could be legitimately challenging the Chiefs, not only in the AFC West, but the AFC. Is this something that you agree with?
I have to say yes. You know, the Chargers, I know the last win was in 2018, and that was the very, very close win that they had. Other than that, I think the Chiefs have been fairly dominant against the Chargers. But you got to look at some of the additions they had. Obviously, this has been one of the worst offensive line units for, I want to say, the right. better part of the last decade. And all of a sudden, you have it fixed. And it wasn't just fixed where you're like, okay, I'm fine with this position group now. You added some of the top talents in the league, including center Corey Linsley, who's coming off a first-team All-Pro nod, you know. And in recent years, I'm thinking back to 2019 as well when they played in Mexico City. I mean, a couple of these games, they were the only team to, I think, hold the Chiefs under, I want to say, 200 yards passing in both matchups in 2019, which is, again, no other team was able to do it. The Raiders didn't. The Broncos did. Right. But it was such a rare case for anyone to do it once. The Chargers did it twice. And I just think there's something about this rivalry where they do create instant classics, right? They are close games. The Chargers somehow have figured it out in one facet to hold Patrick Mahomes to, you know, lesser passing yards. But at the same time, you look at those games, Patrick Mahomes is running for 50 plus yards on scrambles and moving the chains with his legs. And so what I've always said about the Chiefs and why I think they're the best team in the NFL is for the most part, it doesn't matter what you stop them from doing, they're always going to find something else to figure it out. And so I think one of the things stopping the Chargers was they also need to have a well-rounded, complete team and where they can play games, you know, with different play lines. If something is stopped, we can go this direction or something like that. So I do think with their additions, with, you know, guys who are hurt coming back, Drew Tranquil, Derwin James, I really do think this is going to be a year. And it seems like a turning point for the franchise. You know, the hype is there with Brandon Staley, but until it happens, the Chiefs are the team to be, and there's nothing we can do about that right now.
I do have a question about Derwin James a little bit later, but I want to stay with the offensive line because I think the Chiefs' offensive line was under this national microscope that really every fan in the league knew about because everybody watched the Super Bowl and just how bad it was, and they completely revamped their line. Justin Herbert, throughout the regular season last year, was in a similar situation, being under tremendous pressure and being able to still set all the records, as you said. You mentioned Corey Linsley, but they also added a right guard in Matt Filer. They also had Rashawn Slater, who was considered perhaps right now, the second best tackle in the draft fall to them, could be a day one starter at left tackle. What do you think that this means for the potential of Herbert and this offense? And then we'll switch sides to the defense.
Yeah, I mean, it's huge. Justin Herbert was able to do what he did, like you said, behind such a faulty offensive line. I mean, guys were rotating in and out, and there were names that you normally would never see on an NFL team. You know, guys
like Cam Irving in Kansas City, for example.
Yes. I mean, yes. Just like, yeah. I felt your pain watching that Super Bowl, man, because right. He showed it. And somehow Herbert was able to find success. So you have to think, if he did it behind that line, what can he do against or behind an offensive line that is actually good? Not just fine, but actually good. They've been serviceable way too long in Los Angeles and San Diego. It's just incredible. So it's incredibly important. Hopefully that plays into the run game, which has been a little bit faulty over the last couple of years. Austin Eckler is a great running back. He's not like a true, you know, workhorse back where he's taking 15 to 20 carries per game, right? I mean, he's getting 20 plus touches, but this is a guy who's 2 years removed from almost getting 1,000 receiving yards, and he's their number one running back. I mean, so they have to figure out how to be more of a balanced offense. And it's like the passing, the vertical game is fantastic, but hopefully this offensive line creates a ground game that's a lot more consistent. You know, last year was supposed to be a big year for Austin Eckler. It gets hurt against the Bucs when he plays 10 games. So, you know, we have to wait another year to see if Eckler can really be, you know, the team's leading rusher. But until then, there's still a lot of hype and hope, especially with this offensive line now.
Want to switch to the defensive side, as I alluded to, Derwin James back in the mix. Man, this has been incredibly frustrating to watch from afar. You mentioned the AFC West things, whether you're a Chiefs fan, Raiders fan, Chargers fan, whatever. This is a really high caliber player that makes the league better when he's on the field. Do you think that this is finally the year that Derwin James can stay healthy throughout? What's the confidence level coming out of LA?
You know, I can't say there's anywhere near 100% confidence in that James is going to come back. He's going to be in perfect form and he's going to have, you know, a heck of a year, because we've just seen it again, 2 years in a row where just something happens. And that kind of has been the theme for the Chargers over the past however many years. But one of the things that does give me some confidence is seeing how Keenan Allen's career has progressed, right? Like he had two back-to-back years where I think it was 2015. He lacerated his kidney on a touchdown catch against the Ravens in game, I think it was week 8. So he played half the season, out for the rest of the year. And then right before halftime, I believe it was against the Chiefs in week 1 of 16, where he tore his ACL just from running a route. It was a non-contact injury, out for the year. So this player who had all this hype, was going to be good, we all knew it, is hurt, misses, you know, 1.5 seasons back-to-back like that. And then comes back to have 3 straight seasons of 1,000 yards, 4 straight seasons of 100 plus catches. I think he fell 8 yards short of 1,000 this past year. Yeah. And he was dealing with some injuries, or else that streak would have continued, you know. So that gives me confidence in knowing that players who are truly great, truly special will find a way to bounce back from something like this. Lesser players may not find, you know, those chances to be that high, but a guy like Derwin James, man, talking with him, you know, in some of these press conferences and asking, you know, how he's handled the time away from football, how he's bettered himself and why he's confident going into this season, man, the way he speaks, how confident he is and he's exuding, you know, with his answers just tells me a lot. And, you know, if you want me to say I'm more confident than less confident, I probably am on the more confident side of the spectrum. He's just a special player and it's hard not to expect special things from him.
Yeah. Like I said, Chiefs fan, whatever fan you are, I think we're all hoping that James can get a full season because it's just one of those guys where you can just tell, you know, almost in a Von Miller standpoint, when he's on the field, I think the league is better. Let's talk about the coaching staff. Anthony Lynn is on the way out. I think he became a darling across the NFL through Hard Knocks. It was tough to see him have to leave LA, but just something that it seemed like it had to be done. But in comes Brandon Staley, defensive coordinator Ronaldo Hill, offensive coordinator Joe Lombardi. What do you think the impact of this coaching staff could have on the Chargers?
I think with it being such a contrast and difference between Anthony Lynn and what Brandon Staley's bringing to the Chargers, I think it's huge, right? Anthony Lynn, and when Anthony was hired, I remember writing an editorial and I said, you know, all my reasons why I would love to play for Anthony Lynn personally as, you know, as a former player, and I loved him, big fan, but something wasn't right. I don't know what it was, whether he just wasn't clicking, whether it was his old school style of coaching that wasn't meshing with the team. Maybe he just needed to catch up with the times, you know, and whatever it was, it ended up, you know, biting him in the rear and he's now out as coach. Bring in Brandon Staley. And I'll tell you right now, a lot of people, I would say the majority of people didn't want Brandon Staley as their first choice. Arthur Smith, guys like that who are offensive minds, they thought, you know, bring him in, let him work with Herbert. But I'll tell you right now, I would kill for Brandon Staley now 10 times out of 10. Just with the way he holds himself, the way he speaks to the team, and heck, even these press conferences, I think one of the first things I noticed was the enjoyment level of sitting and talking and listening to these coaches speak for, you know, an hour, hour and a half at a time was just light years away different from listening to Gus Bradley and Anthony Lynn. Cause there's a lot of coach speak with some of these older coaches. You're not getting a lot of information and there's nothing to really give to the media and to the fans. Brandon Staley wants you to know why for everything he does. And he wants to explain. So everyone's in on exactly what he's trying to do as the Chargers coach. Again, players coach, it's, you know, a definition of that is Brandon Staley. He's a savant defensively. You look at the coaches he brought in, a young staff outside of Joe Lombardi. But you've got Ronaldo Hill, you know, former NFL safety, not too far removed from the league. He's come up and coming. Darius Swinton Jr., the special teams coordinator, is a ball of energy. Now you've seen the Chargers special teams, especially this past season, but over the last couple of years, it's been horrendous. This guy in our first press conference basically said he wants people to have a party when they're on special teams. You know, it's a third phase of the game. It's the forgettable phase of the game. But how important it is has never been, I think, higher than it is in the modern day NFL. And to bring that youth and energy there, I think is huge. So overall, this coaching staff just has a ton of excitement behind it.
Yeah, what in general, and to put you on the spot a little bit, what is your greatest concern for the Chargers this season?
That's a good question because, again, there's so much positivity and hype. It's almost tough to try to flip that script, but you have to. You have to be realist. Right. This is the Chargers. You know, the second there's a group of the fan base who, like, if they hear you say anything positive about the Chargers, they're like almost quick to shut it down because they have to remind you this is the Chargers we're talking about. But if I had to pick something, you have to realize that nothing's happened yet. You realize how big the hype is, the energy, the expectations. And you just have to remind yourself that, like, they haven't played a game yet. We haven't even gone through training camp. You know, we don't know who's going to be injured, knock on wood. We don't know who's not going to end up playing this season or anything along those lines. So until that happens, you've got to remember, first year head coach, first year defensive coordinator, first year full-time special teams coordinator. I mean, a lot of these people are in the first years of these new higher roles. And I think you have to kind of, you know, trim your expectations for them. So if anything, I think it's just you have to be settled in reality before the season gets here to really not let yourself down if something bad does happen during the season, whatever that may be.
Yeah, I think that's something that Kansas City is constantly reminding itself because, you know, this part of the Andy Reid era where you're trying to go to a third straight Super Bowl, there is so much hype and you constantly will hear Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid being like, all right, day at a time, practice at a time, a game at a time. And I'm sensing that out of LA. I think there is real excitement, again, stemming from Justin Herbert, who we talked about, because if you don't have the quarterback, you don't have anything. And it finally does feel like the Chargers do have that quarterback in Justin Herbert. Want to get specifically to this Chiefs-Chargers series and ask you this. How do you think the Chargers will fare against the Chiefs in the two matchups this season? I mentioned the early one. There's one late, short rest, Thursday night football, with the Chiefs having to travel after a division game against the Raiders to play the Chargers in LA. How do you see this series going in 2021?
I don't think I would be surprised to see a split of some sort between the teams. I think now more than the past few years, even when, you know, we split it in 18, this is going to be way more competitive. I think each game will be competitive, unlike 18, where it was one very close win and the other one was a blowout by you guys, I believe, in week one of that season. And I think the biggest difference is, again, the coaching staff. I think what was really holding the Chargers back was they had talent. Everyone, every offseason, says the Chargers have talent, could be a dark horse team, what have you. It always came down to the coaching staff, and it came down to game management, time management, the tiny nuances of the flow of the game to raise the efficiency of your team in certain situations and winning percentages and all these analytics. Chargers have never dealt with analytics, and they have two guys now they've hired over the last 2 years to delve into that stuff. So I just think they're going to be more competitive. They're going to be more enjoyable. You're not going to see the Chargers trying to run a draw on 3rd and 12 for no reason. You know, you're not going to see those things. And Warren Sharp beat it on the head all of last season, just how the Chargers kept not just running the football a lot, but running the football in like the worst situation statistically to ever run the football. It was just like weekly thing, man. You just kept hitting it on the head and it wasn't working. So that's my thing. I think it's going to be much more competitive. I think the games are going to be close. I think it can be, you know, the Chiefs can sweep. I think the Chargers can split the series. And if something crazy happens, maybe the Chargers even sweep them. But that's highly unlikely at this point. You know, like I said, until it happens, it's the Chiefs division and the Chargers are still fighting for it.
So we know you feel about in that series, as we're predicting the season for the Chargers. Remember, there's 17 games now. What is a reasonable expectation? I know you said that there's a lot of hype. What do you think their record will be? How will the season go in a complete way for the Chargers?
Yeah, that one extra game is crazy to think about.
I know, right? Very beforehand. It's been hard to get used to being able to say 10-7 or 11 and what would be, I guess, 11-6. Yeah. What do you think? How will the Chargers record go?
Well, I'll tell you what. So normally in a 16 game season, I'd probably say 9-7. You know, it's a 2-game improvement from this past season.
Yeah.
It's a winning record. And I think that's the most you can maybe ask for in the first season with a new head coach and all these young players. But again, like if I say 9 wins, that means 8 losses. And that just seems too close for what this team, I think, can do, what their potential can be. So I'm going to say 10-7. I think that feels right. 7 losses is still, you know, a good handful of losses. If the Chargers handle their business, and I think the biggest thing is the Chiefs have been able to handle the division. I know last year they had that weird loss to the Raiders, but for the most part, their record is pretty beefed up by the fact that they sweep the Broncos, sweep the Raiders, and then split or sweep the Chargers. I mean, that's an easy, 5-6 wins during a season.
It's like the Patriots in the AFC East days for all those years with Tom Brady, where you were just beating up on the rest of the division. But yeah, as these teams improve, Chargers included in that, that'll get tougher and tougher to do.
Yeah, and I think, you know, if they handle, get at least 4 wins out of the division, let's call it that. Let's just say sweep the other two. Maybe they're swept by the Chiefs, right? Then that's only 6 more wins outside of the division. And I think the schedule's fairly favorable in that sense. You got tough games against the AFC North, Ravens, Steelers, Browns. But, you know, Bengals are still, you know, an easy team. A couple other things like the Dolphins, you know, might be a struggle. But actually, I don't think they play the Dolphins. The Patriots are, again, as well, though. I think it's just feasible. 10-7 feels right. 9-8 feels way too close to 500. I just think they're a little bit better than that. So 10-7 feels right.
Yeah, I'm actually higher on the Chargers this year than I have been. It has been, I think, for Chiefs fans, a little bit nauseating for like 4 to 5 years in a row where everyone's picking the Chargers as this dark horse to knock off the Chiefs. But to me, as you were saying, with an improved defense, with Derwin James back in the mix, with Justin Herbert finally getting the quarterback is a huge change. Like, this is not the Phil Rivers days where he's going to be chucking the ball all over, taking these unnecessary turnovers. This really seems like a player who in some games, in my opinion, can go toe-to-toe with Patrick Mahomes. My prediction for the Chargers this year is probably right around you, 10-7. I think they make the playoffs, and I think there's a chance they're that fifth-seeded team. So try to do the standings in your head a little bit, where they might have a better record than the fourth or third place team. The Chiefs just end up having a little bit better record, which knocks them down to fifth place. And I think that's a fair ceiling for the Chargers this year. I'm really looking forward to these Chargers-Chiefs games more than any other division game, because I think you guys finally have a legitimate team. The big thing for the Chargers, and tell me if you agree with this, and we'll close down here, but it's just staying healthy. I mean, as much hype as they get each and every year, it seems like you guys have about 9 to 10 legitimate 9 to 10 key injuries. If they could just stay healthy, they should be right in that mix.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. It's pretty egregious. If you look at 2018, right, that season they went 12-4, made the playoff, beat the Ravens in the first round. If you look at injuries, almost no injuries. They didn't have Hunter Henry that whole season. So, you know, if that tells you anything, fine. But Virgil Green did a good enough job. They had the rest of their skill players did well. Mike Williams scored 11 total touchdowns, like just out of the blue, you know. It was incredible. And then you look at 19 and 20, and you see no Derwin James, you know. Keenan Allen's getting hurt a little bit. Joey Bosa was hurt this past season. Linemen like Bulaga and Trey Turner this past season also missed almost half the season. Chris Harris's first year in LA misses 7 games. He never missed more than 1 or 2 in any other season. Like, it's insane. It just, you want your head to explode because of, when you look back at this right. stuff. But 2018, you saw the success, 12-4, playoffs, playoff victory. All those things came in a season where the injuries weren't like non-existent, but there just wasn't as many. Maybe they didn't hit certain players, right? If Hunter Henry is your worst injury, I think, you know, that's probably okay at the tight end position. But then 19 and 20, and you just see the injuries. So yes, I absolutely agree with you. I think it's night and day difference. If this team can stay relatively healthy, and I'm not saying completely healthy, relatively healthy, then I think their potential is just so high.
That is the voice of Michael Peterson from Bolts from the Blue. We mentioned it. The Chiefs play the Chargers twice every year. On those weeks, how can Chiefs fans check out your content?
Yeah, you guys can follow me on Twitter at ZoneTracks. That's spelled ZoneTracks. Like you said, I am the lead editor at BoltsFromTheBlue.com. And that's essentially it. If you guys want to follow me on Twitter, that'd be great. I think I'm 10 away from 3,000, which is just another milestone I'd like to hit. So just, you know, give me a pity follow if you want. That's fine. I'd really appreciate it. But that's where you can find me.
Help him out. Michael Peterson, Bolts from the Blue. That wraps up our Around the AFC West portion of the Arrowhead Pride interview series. We thank you for joining us.